Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. All right, Rock Movers. One of the favorite things that I get to do as host of the podcast is choose my guests. And I can't believe I've waited this long to have you on the show, but I want to just welcome you, Sherry James, one of my absolute favorite humans on the planet next to my kids and my husband. You are like right there. My sister from another mister, Sherry James. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I love it. And you love Jason and the kids too. So, you know, we're just one big happy family.
We are one big happy family. And literally, when you get the three of us together, so much goes on. That literally should be the podcast. We should have Jason on here. But then I would not get to ask you any questions because he would totally take over.
He would. And I'd allow
it. And it would be a comedy show. So, but today we're going to be a little more serious. And I want my people to really see inside your heart because it is vast and huge and so beautiful because all that you've gone through, all of the rocks that you've moved have made you this enduring soul that I adore and love so much. But if you will, share about that first rock or the biggest rock that you're, because there's many. But what's the one you want to talk about today?
So I would say that if I had to like zoom all the way back out and not be very specific on one particular, I would say overall is my perception of failure, right? That was my biggest rock. So it showed up, you know, in corporate America as imposter syndrome. Now that there's a name for it, there didn't used to be, right?
Yeah.
But I think the perception of failure, of course, with my parents, the way their life ended, and being an only child, I thought that my dad's life ending the way that it did, my mom's life ending the way that it did, was my fault. So I always had this perception of a failure from as early as 8 years old, even though I was in talented and gifted classes and schools and scored off the charts and all the IQ tests and all those things. It didn't really matter because I had this perception of failure that I believed defined who I was. And it also defined who I would be. So that was my biggest rock. That rock still shows up, right? So we're talking system, like every now and then I'm still stream. That's so it's a little smaller now.
That damn hill.
That's the hill against me every time, right? But that's probably the biggest, and because it's had the most impact in the most areas of my life. So in my marriage and my motherhood and my work and academia, all of those. So that's the biggest rock. I was able to, thank God, utilize the decades of corporate America experience that I had in teaching. My first job, I don't even know if you know this, Karen, but one of my first jobs was, I taught at AT&T. And so,
I don't think I did know.
Yeah, so that was my first kind of real job in corporate. I was there for like 6 months, and I was supposed to be in a call center. I was in a call center. I was supposed to be answering the phones when people, I don't know if you remember this. You're not old enough, probably, but.
You're funny. I love that. That's so cute.
But back in the day, people used to like switch your long distance carrier by, you know, like they was called slamming. And so there was a phone number at the bottom of everybody's bill that if you had a problem with your long distance carrier, call this number. And that was the number that I answered. And I was supposed to not only, you know, calm them down, but also sell them AT&T services. And I nailed it. Like the first 6 months I was there, I moved into a leadership role. And so it started, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not really a failure. Like maybe I can teach others. Maybe even though I failed at like doing this parental thing, which I had no responsibility for, actually. I knew that I could teach others and I could train others, and I had a heart for back then what was like a 6 or 9 week training course. We can actually train people how to do their jobs. Can you? You know, that's
Shocking.
mind. It's mind-blowing nowadays. I love
More
that.
than a here's a book, good luck. Or here's a digital file, good luck.
Exactly. Go for
Watch
it.
this video.
Yeah, watch the video that was filmed 40 years ago. So yeah, I was able to take that perception of failure and utilize it. If I had to look back now and say that's how I decided to become a chief experience officer. I always wanted to know the personas of everyone. Okay, I know how the customer feels. How do the people answering the calls feel? Like, do they feel that they have the skills that they need? And then fast forward to now having a for-profit and a non-for-profit, which are both focused on teaching, training, healing, and creating mental wealth. So that perception of failure still serves me well to this date, as long as I keep it in check.
So I love that you are launched into the second half of that, because you're prepared. What you did with the rock, and love that it's the same situation. It's just a different lens or a different perspective of the
Yeah,
rock.
absolutely.
And so tell me, or tell us, the listeners, what you're doing, because you mentioned it a little bit, right? You have a nonprofit, you have a for-profit. Let's talk about your for-profit first.
Okay.
So you have Phoenix Speaks.
Yes.
You actually go in and do what for organizations and companies?
Thank you. Great question. So we do a discovery session first. So we don't have a lot of clients, nor is our goal to have a lot of clients. Our goal is to have the right client that we can help at the right time. So we do a discovery session and we find out, I use some of my magic PMP skills to find out what the actual problem is, peeling back
Which you
the
are massively good at. Like, Lord boggles my mind with her spreadsheets and her organization. It's like, did you think of this? Did you think of this? What about this? What about this? What about this? What about this?
Thank
People
you.
drives me nuts because that is not my skill. Not my skill. So everybody needs a Sherry James in their life.
Well, and I am for hire. So that is one of
At a
the things.
cost.
Yeah, at a cost. But that's what I do for my clients, right? So sometimes, but it's more than just the execution, right? So that's
Right.
definitely a skill set on how we execute. But being able to understand what is the problem and what is the problem from multiple perspectives. So, I do have a certification in Korn Ferry 360. So I can do this kind of, let me go in and find out. Because as a C-level executive, I would say I'm doing everything great. We know
Sure.
that's not the case, right?
Yeah,
And
you have one lens, and
yeah,
you're
it's
not
just
going to be super critical of it.
absolutely. Or you're going to be, if you are a woman, you're going to be overtly
Highly
critical.
hypercritical.
Yeah. And so the truth lies in the middle somewhere. So definitely the discovery session helps us understand what the problem is, and then we create together what this journey map is to success. One of the other things that we utilize is kind of the agile methodology. So it's not like, hey, give me your information. We'll come back in 6 months. We're going to meet every week and we're going to see that needle moving towards your progress. And people love that. People love to say, hey, or we can, in the middle of it, go, this doesn't even apply anymore. We just got purchased by another company. They already have their standards in place. What do we need to do to make sure that we're mentally wealthy throughout this merger and acquisition, for example? So that's one of the services. Obviously, my keynote speaking is my passion. I love being on a stage in front of people, teaching them the concepts of all kinds of things. Human resources. We do sexual harassment training, the stuff that like no one else wants to do, right? When I was in HR, we didn't want to do sexual harassment training because that was kind of, you air that out to someone else. And that's who we are. And then we also do the TV show. So we have a TV show called Creating Mental Wealth. It is scheduled to be live in any day now. And so we're looking for commercial sponsors for that. So it's a talk show, 30 minutes, that we talk to people from all walks of life about how they are mentally wealthy. And I'm so excited about that because that's going to be spread globally. And I think that it's time for that.
So let's open that box because we really haven't talked about on this show, what does it mean to be mentally wealthy?
Okay. So mentally wealthy is the concept that you have the opportunity to change your situation from a mental health perspective. So one of my favorite quotes from one of my keynotes is the traffic example, right? So for your listeners who might be in a big city or a metroplex where, commuting is less than fun, if someone cuts you off on the highway, you will have a visceral, immediate response to that person. But you have control over what that response is going to be. You can decide to be like, I can't believe you. and then you know, all kinds of things with your fingers.
Getting the Italian handshake wave.
Exactly. You can choose to do that. But that's going to increase your heart rate. It is going to increase like the stress hormones in your body. It's going to take you time to like release those and get back. So that becomes a mental wealth withdrawal for you. Now you can choose, creating mental wealth says, I am going to choose to see this as a deposit. Okay, that person, I didn't run into that person. They didn't run into me. I'm fine. They're fine. I'm on my way. I'm going to see that as a deposit. And so mental wealth is taking financial literacy terms and applying them to mental health situations in order to make it not so icky to talk about, right? Like, no, today I withdraw all day. And I need my family to understand that and support that. And so it's a lot easier to talk about than if you're anxious or if you're depressed. Those are diagnoses. This is just a state of your mental health. And you determine if you're going to be mentally wealthy or if you choose to be mentally bankrupt. You have the power to do either.
Yeah, I love that. Coming from a financial background, that literally makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Like you can start out with $1 and or $100 or whatever you want to start out with. And then, you know, each day you get the same amount. You get to choose whether it goes into the negatives or the positives.
Right. And you mentioned something very important. So as I do these assessments, everyone goes through a mental wealth assessment if I take them on as a trusted advisor client. And the interesting thing that you said is that you get the same amount every day. You don't have to get the same amount every day. Like it's literally your account. So if you wake up and say, oh my gosh, I've got 5 back-to-back Zoom calls and that's going to be a high withdrawal day. So I'm going to take a bath in the morning. Like baths for me are a huge mental wealth deposit. So that means I've got to switch up some things in my schedule to handle the high withdrawal day. So definitely, I don't want you to limit yourself. I'm telling you this.
I love that.
Don't limit yourself. You deposit what you think you need for the day. So it's like a mental wealth black card, right? You spend it. You spend as much as you want for as long as you want, knowing that every day God's going to give you some deposits. He's going to give you the fact that you woke up and your family's safe and you ate today and there's a roof over you. Like when you start writing down all the things, your deposits, you're
y'all
like,
know my friend Bougie because she just mentioned a black card. Like you're going to have one of those little metal ding, ding. That's what a black card is. If y'all don't know, she's Bougie. You're so Bougie. I love it. So, yes, if you have unlimited access, unlimited funds, you can make your own black card. I love that. So if you don't have one in real life, you have one now. We've just given you the manufacturing rights to create your one. And you said it like everybody knows what that is. There may be some people on Earth that don't know what a black card is. And
you are right, me. Thank you, Coach Grant. Thank you, Coach Grant, for correcting me. An unlimited credit, yes, but
this
you
is,
do.
This is why we have so much fun.
An unlimited amount to spend. Yes, that is true.
I love that. So you get to decide to add to it, what to add to it, and what you need to start with. And then as things go in life, as they do, you have withdrawals and deposits. How do you balance those out when you're just in that spiral of withdrawals? What do you recommend?
I love that you use the word spiral. So spiral to me, you're just learning all the things about me today after our years of friendship, but I don't like swings. So the swing set, like in the yard, I don't like swings. I don't like roller coasters, anything that give me that feeling in my stomach, right? That's I don't like that. I get that same feeling when I get a high withdrawal. Like something happens, I get that feeling in my stomach as if someone is swinging me one way or the other. So the best way for me to balance is to ground and to stabilize myself. That is used by this. Again, I'm old school, right? But I can go back and flip some pages and find some deposits from days before, from my journaling, from the tasks notes of what I've done, even the lines of things that I've completed, right? And so my balance sheet looks like a to-do list with some marks drawn through it of the things that I've completed. That's a huge deposit for me because some days my spiral is like, oh my gosh, I needed to do this. I didn't do that, which means I'm a horrible mom, which means I'm this. And then I've got to stop and go, hold on, let me look and see what I said about myself. Let me look and see what I've done for myself. Let me look through my thread of emails and see the number of thank you so much for taking my call last night. I was very stressed. I didn't have anyone to talk to. that those become my balances, right? That's what I need to go to be like, you know what? I am. Sometimes it's my son. Sometimes it's my 17-year-old who says things that are the most wise and profound. You know, he's like, Mom, you don't have to fix that today. Like, let's just rest today. So there's always a way to go back and find that balance and find that center. If you feel like there's this visceral swing from deposit to withdrawal and then back, then you can always go, hold on, is today really a bad day or is that just a bad call? Or, you know, am I really drowning in debt or am I late with one bill? Like, you know, it gives you an opportunity to just kind of reset and rebalance.
I love that. Just that reframe, which is what you do for me. And there have been so many times that just your high level perspective of, you know, okay, that may be true in this moment, but is that really the truth? Right? Like, no, that's not the truth. You're just feeling, you can, you know, validate that and put your big girl panties on, let's move on.
Like, well, yeah. Well, and I think, put your big girl panties on, just so we're clear.
Okay, that's a Karen statement, not a Sherry statement.
Let's just be clear. I would never tell you that. I think it's an unfair, I'm glad you brought it up because I think it's an unfair expectation to like just pull your big girl, you know. No, you need to feel what you're feeling. If you're feeling disappointed, feel that. Like, identify, this is disappointment. Write it down. Today, I missed a deadline and I am disappointed. This is a mental wealth withdrawal. But how much is it going to be? Because I woke up feeling like $5 million today. So did I miss this deadline? I did, but look at all the things that I did. And so in hindsight, I am not a failure. I'm disappointed and I should be. But then I write a plan. What do I do to keep this from happening again? And now that's balanced my spreadsheet back up, right? Now I'm like, oh, this was a withdrawal. And then I have to right size it and bring it back to like, okay, I felt disappointed for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. But I set a timer. You got 3 days. Like, if you got, and that's kind of it. That comes from a different reference, right? Mm-hmm. But I wait 3 days. I know something is going to happen in 3 days. Something's been promised. So I give myself the maximum of 3 days to be angry, upset, to spiral, depressed, whatever. But I also let the people around me know that I'm in this 3-day period. So let me feel my feelings for about 3 days. And typically 5 or 6 hours later, I'm better because I've given myself permission to feel that feeling, anger, disappointment, frustration, all of those things. I know how to stop the spiral. Feel it, identify it, write it down, and then stop the spiral, or at least give the spiral a timeline.
Yeah, so I love that. My timeline is this, well, I have a shorter timeline, but when I'm done, that's when it's the, okay, it's time to put your big girl panties on. Like, that's my mental switch of a decision. That's my cognitive push for me that my inner child, my little girl was hurt. Okay, now it's time to be the adult again in this scenario and do something about that. Whether that's take action, on forgiveness, whatever is required, or just accept that that's a lesson. Okay, great. I'm gonna do that lesson again. Whatever that is. So I love it. Two different reframes, two different ways of looking at it, but same outlook that there are times you just make a choice and you get to move forward because we don't want to stay wherever that is.
Absolutely.
At the bottom of the spiral in the negative balance sheet.
Absolutely. You've got to get a deposit. Yeah. And then once you start having this conversation with people in your life, they can tell, right? And they're just, I know you and Jason have this kind of unspoken communicate, right? Where you don't have to say anything. He knows if something's not right. And so if you were in public and he didn't want to say, hey, are you spiraling? He's not going to say it. He'd be like, hey, need some deposits? What's going on, right? And so the purpose of the curriculum is to make the vernacular easy for everyone involved. And also, when we teach it in schools, it teaches children how to count, which I don't know how they're graduating from college and they don't understand money at all. So the curriculum also gives them some idea about what a deposit and a withdrawal and interest-bearing accounts and portfolios. We use all of that vernacular so that they can understand that side as well as how to manage their mental health. So it's kind of a twofold approach. I'm super excited about the lives that have been changed as a result, and struggling with the fact that people are like, oh, we want to hear from all these thousands of people. Every one person that reaches out and tells us that we've saved their life is more than enough, right? And so that's one of the things that keeps me balanced and keeps me from spiraling out, is knowing that every day that I've changed at least one life and saved at least one life, and it keeps our entire team moving. So
So that is the nonprofit arm of what you do. So let's talk a little bit more about that. So 2020 Lives Changed, how fortuitous was that name? So she created this name in 2019?
I did, yeah. So my...
With a mission.
With a mission, yeah, to save lives. The project manager in me, I had a dream of the number 2020. And I said, you know what? God is trying to tell me that next year I need to, you know, keep going with this mental wealth perspective. Let's keep doing this, but let's do it for in schools. And I had no idea. So my certification of my paperwork shows, I think, October 13th or 19th of 2019. And I just, every time I talk about it, I get goosebumps because I had no idea. And and every interview, people ask me that, and I'm always stumped because it's just God showing up. Like, there's nothing else I can say. I can take zero credit. But in 2020, lives changed. And so I had already started this nonprofit. It was already up and running by the time January 2020 started. And as things declined, January, February, March, I had already planned to have an Instagram TV show called With Your Mind in Mind, so that people could have a conversation about what was on their mind. This is pre-pandemic. We already did the photo shoot and had the art created. So it's awesome to see how God's timing aligned with this pandemic. My son was home with me, and he helped me set up the cameras, and we had never done anything live before on Instagram, right? And so we got to be in the platform safely together while we were at home. He got to talk about how he was dealing with the pandemic. We also did a series called Shelter in Peace. So when we had to stay at home and not leave at all, we were like, what are we going to do to keep from driving each other nuts? And it was just Miles and I and the cat. And the cat was done, Karen. Willow was done. Somebody's got to go to school or
somebody
work.
Somebody need to leave. Leave me alone.
Somebody's got to go.
In my space.
Yes. It's just been, and everything since then has just been an amazing set of doors opening, and universities and schools like having us come in and change these lives, right? So I was at Miles' school, is in middle school. I talked about suicide prevention and was shocked at the number of students that showed up and were interested to have this conversation. They're craving structure and some kind of guidance, as opposed to just hearing about how bad it is or hearing that someone else died by suicide. You've got to balance it out for them as well. So super excited about the work we're doing with the nonprofit. And now our newest news is that we are now taking this curriculum global. So we have interest in both the continent of Africa and the continent of India, which is awesome. So when you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're obedient to the Holy Spirit, then the doors just open. And you better be ready. Just be ready. Cool. That was a mic drop from Karen.
Yeah, that was a mic drop. Yeah, I knew about Kenya, didn't know about Africa, but I didn't know about India. So congratulations. That's amazing. And that just goes to show you that this is not something that is specific to any subcategory, any geographic area. If you have a human body and a human brain and human emotions, you are impacted by this. And
Absolutely. So
I love you. Thank you for the work that you're doing and all that your life has culminated up to this point, all that you've endured, all that you've gone through, all the rocks that you've moved are for this time, for a time such as this, and for this purpose. So proud. So proud of you and so excited for you. So deserving. And now going forward, how can people, so they're hearing all of this amazing stuff now, like, I had no idea she did all that. I didn't know she did that either. So they're having this conversation because you are the secret bombshell in every room, because you are not self-promoting. and you are self, like, you serve others. You are self-sacrificial. Probably not a great description of you. You don't really self-sacrifice, but you do serve from such a selfless place. You serve others generously. So for those that didn't know in your world or new to this, how can they find you? What's the best place for them to get connected to you, learn more about you, get that free discovery call so that they can learn more about, is this the right avenue for their company or their family?
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Yeah, I think the best way to reach me is LinkedIn. I spend the majority of my time on LinkedIn. It's my favorite platform. I've been with them for a very long time. And also Instagram. And so Sherry James PMP, you can Google it, honestly. But please put the PMP on there. It doesn't seem important, I promise you. There's a bunch of Sherry James. And so Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-Y, James PMP, Paul Mary Paul. If you put it in Google, it'll show you all of the places where I'll be speaking. It'll show you the websites, both the for-profit and the nonprofit. But LinkedIn is the best way if you want to get that free discovery session call booked. The best way to do that is to reach out to me on LinkedIn. Also, Sherry James BMP. So super easy to find. I'm looking forward to talking to your listeners.
Love it. So where are you speaking next?
Oh my gosh.
So this is coming out in the end of August.
Okay.
So they'll be getting this out in September. What do you have going on?
So September, we're doing a bit of a naval tour. So I have another thing that I do that I didn't mention is that I also help other speakers get speaking gigs. Mm-hmm. And so one of our clients is doing a bit of a naval tour. So most of September we'll be doing Chief Petty Officer Day in Jacksonville, Florida. We'll be doing the same, actually the 10th anniversary in Jacksonville, 20th anniversary in San Diego. There's some time in, I just forgot the name of the city. On the East Coast, it's just gone.
Virginia?
Norfolk. Oh, no. Thank you. It is Norfolk. Thank you. The name of the city was gone. So yeah. So September sees us on the road quite a bit. Still filming episodes of the Creating Mental Wealth show, and then a couple of speaking gigs here or there, but mostly focused on Naval Chief Petty Officer Pride Day activities across the country.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. So many things going on. How do you, in all of these things, with a son that's a junior in high school and who literally is her mini-me some days, so much fun with that, but how do you keep your balance other than the mental wealth deposits? Is there anything else that you do that just absolutely is a tip that others should consider and try?
So I pray, but it's probably not the normal prayer, like, oh, dear Jesus, thank you. I find that my faith finds me in praise and worship. And so it's not the opposite. It's not like I go into praise and worship looking for something, but I spend my day, I wake up in the morning in praise and worship. And I mean like gospel music, my neighbors hate me kind of praise and worship, because I'm so thankful for what is going to happen. That the current situation matters not, right? And so that is my number one practice when I'm in the car, when I'm sitting still and there's nothing to do. If it's quiet, we are in praise and worship, and that's everybody in the house. And so that is my my reps. That's my workout. That's my emotional, spiritual workout every day. Is yes, things may be tough. I've got two businesses I am teetering to try to keep, you know, afloat without, you know, this influx of funds that we expected. But even in the midst of that, I can find a reason to be grateful and thankful and be prayerful and thankful. So that's it. Like, that's my magic token. My magic wand is praise and worship. No matter what, no matter how hard it is, no matter how bad it looks, I am thankful because I know something good is coming.
Yeah, there's always something to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right. Well, any words that you want to leave them with before we wrap this up and tie it with a bow?
I would absolutely love to just say that I am so super proud of you, Karen, and all of the things that you've gone through to get here. You deserve the absolute best. And I'm so excited to be here to see it making its way into your hands, into your heart, so that you can see how much you are loved and how much you are supported. Thank you for having me along as a part of the ride. I'm honored. So thank you.
I can't imagine doing any of this without you now. Now that you're in my life, you're stuck forever and ever.
Yay.
So,
yeah.
But y'all see, this is everybody needs a Sherry James in their life. This is why. But you can't have mine.
We're working on cloning as we speak.
We are. Yes. I don't know if the world can handle more than one of you or I, so they'll have to clone someone else. But we're going to wrap it up with that. So we have a message that I share at the end of all of our podcasts, and that's just a reminder to keep moving the rocks, one day, one rock at a time, and just know that you don't have to do it alone. You have people like Sherry James in your world that you can lean into and reach out to help you move those rocks. Until next time.
Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. So, just for being here, I want to gift you free access to my Reclaim Your Confidence course. It's a mini course, short 5 modules. It's impactful, yet it's not super heavy. So, use VIP 2024 as a code to get free access to this course just for showing up and listening to this entire episode. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world, and I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.